Good morning, Lee.
This week we're looking at new solar installation standards.
That's correct. The new solar AS5833 installation standard has just been released. It's so fresh, I'm still getting my head around it. There is some good news, and also the usual Australian standards brain dead stuff to contend with as well.
So no doubt it's really anticipated stuff here.
Well, it is for us. And the most anticipated news, Lee, was the first time the ability to exclude the rooftop isolator from a solar system. And these have been a problem for well over a decade. Look, anyone who doesn't know, the DC isolators, those little white plastic boxes which contain a DC switch mounted near the solar array on the roof. These were there to give emergency services the means to isolate the DC power from solar panels to the inverter, basically de-energising the cable from the solar panels to the inverter. Problem being, Lee, emergency services never actually use them, and in most cases they're trained not to. So this little white plastic box would degrade in the sun, leak water, and over time would sort of build up and then short-circuit the DC energy and catch fire.
So I'm thinking this is why you started using Solar Edge.
Definitely, Lee. It's definitely one of the most important reasons why we went to Solar Edge is we cannot have any rooftop isolator fires with this system, as the arc detection senses issues, turns off the solar panels individually and emails us. And we also use aluminium isolators, not plastic ones, which are designed to last longer than the solar panels are.
Yeah, it sounds like good news.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. So we can scrap the rooftop isolators when we can maintain 600 mil of clearance between the cables and the ceiling, or if we can run the cables within the eaves. And that means an awful lot of houses will legally still have to use DC isolators. And that's mean, basically that's any house that has a flat roof or cathedral ceilings.
But hold on, there is more.
That's right, mate. So if we choose not to use rooftop isolators, we have to draw a map showing the layout of the DC cables and where the disconnector is located. So we've gone from an isolator to a disconnector. So while it would be much more sensible just to run the cable straight down to the inverter, we still have to put in, yes, you've guessed it, a white plastic box with some plugs we have to pull apart.
Now, Adrian, there are circumstances where we do not need to use DC isolators. The opportunity has been, I guess, muddied by warm and fuzzy bureaucracy.
That's exactly right. So, look, wherever we can, we should probably try not to use them. But now we have to carry a laminator with us. We've got to be able to draw maps on site. A lot of houses out there will still have to have an isolator just because we cannot comply with the clearance rules. But see, another example of the madness is they want a special drain valve installed to allow water to come out of the conduits. Now, this is just another plastic doohickey that will fester in the sun and eventually fail. While good operators used to fit what we call a drip loop, Lee, which is just a loop to make it the lowest point for water to collect in, and then we drill a tiny little weep hole for the water to escape out of. Drilling weep holes is considered the best practice for every other area of electrical except solar, where we were told we weren't allowed to, which often led to weep holes being hidden.
And as we know, water eventually gets into everything, doesn't it, over time?
It does, but it's not an issue if it can find its way back out again.
Yep.
But it just cannot give it the chance to build up and cause issues.
Adrian, I often wonder if inviting manufacturers to be parts of the boards that create electrical standards hasn't just turned into, I guess, a product lobbying free-for-all. Some of these changes seem to be device-driven instead of solution-based.
Well, that's my feeling too.
Yeah.
But as you can imagine, Lee, there's hundreds of solar systems being commissioned every day across Australia, and if you could somehow find a way to make your product mandated to be part of every single installation, we're talking big dollars. So I can see why they'd want to really, you know, infiltrate these boards. But look, it's not all bad news. There's been some good stuff. The 600 volt limit has been removed from domestic buildings, which means we can start using the Solar Edge bigger three phase inverters again for larger homes. The wattage limits for optimizers has been dropped, which means we don't have to play the word salad in labelling, which we had to use optimizers, which were there for safety in the first place. It was just silly. More bad news, though, if you ever wanted to install a pole mount or ground-mounted array, then they have to have restricted access, which in all likelihood would require a padlocked fence around the solar panels or some very inventive conduit and ductwork.
That's going to price a lot of people out of the option of having freestanding solar panels out in the paddock.
That's right, mate. Look, there should be ways around it, but we haven't worked them out yet. There is also a six-month lead-in period for this new standard. If you do want a ground-mounted solar array, it might be time to press the button on that while the restricted access rules are not so black and white. We'll be looking for more little nuggets of the good, bad and the ugly. They do take a while. It's 144 pages of rules, so it takes you a while to digest all that. But I haven't inspected the labelling section yet, Lee, but I imagine it'll be yet more stickers. I once asked a customer, what do all these labels mean to you? And he replied, I don't understand any of them. I asked him what he'd like to see, and his reply was he just wanted to see how to turn it on and off safely, which was actually there, but it was just one label swimming in a sea of other labels. And I'm genuinely starting to believe you can label something up to the point it becomes dangerous. Labelling is meant to be clear, concise and easy to follow. But somehow we've moved beyond that to labels on top of labels that even make even tradesmen like myself think twice about what they're trying to convey.
Yeah, and most of the industry just despairs with the Australian standards processes at the moment.
Yeah, we always wait with bated breath to see what's going to be dropped on our lap. So they don't tend to listen to people at the coalface. They're heavily lobbied and infiltrated by manufacturers these days. Too many competing interests sit on these boards, and as such, we just keep getting nonsense thrown into the installation rules. It shouldn't have taken 10 years of lobbying to get rid of the rooftop isolator, and even now, the methodology to remove it has been bastardised to the point it's probably going to make more sense for us with our solar edge systems and aluminium isolators just to keep using them.
So there we go, the new AS5033 2021 solar installation standards.
That's right, mate, and look, that's going to be officially the standard in 6 months' time, and look, there'll be a flurry of amendments in the new year because it always seems to happen after a new standard release just to satisfy some hurt feelings, but it's going to be an interesting time.
Now we can find out a little bit more. We can pop into DMS Energy. Where do we find you?
You'll find us at 56 Sheffield Road in Sprayton, or you can give us a bell on 1300 502 599. Also, if you know a good way to get in touch with us is via Facebook. We're happy to answer your questions on there. Or go to our website, all the W's, dmsenergy.net.au.
And you travel right across the northwest at Intercircular Head. Good on you, Adrian. We'll catch up with another Power Savers again just after 8:30 next Monday morning. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week.
Thanks.